Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This morning it is not visible. Did you take the
last night the sort of the clouds that had moving in because there were some storms around us just highlighted how beautiful that moon was for early January.
Did you take the boys out to see it?
Did not. The boys, I think they had a...
What is this moon deprivation?
It's not moon deprivation. It's called keeping your kids on a routine.
You know, but I mean, the moon is visible at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night.
We are entering the witching hour.
Okay. Oh, where losses become wins and wins become losses?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
So sad. That's the end of the red zone.
It's
so
very sad.
That was the last red zone that we're going to get for another year.
Yeah.
That's like really sad.
When they sign off and just the music's playing.
Love the red zone.
Yeah. Just leave the music on.
Just off. All right, so let me tell
March
you a small little story and try to involve all the people of the shared fabric of this show. On Friday, Nigel showed me a picture that he said was in the New York Times on A1.
On the homepage of the New York Times.
The homepage is not A1 of the actual paper.
Right.
But you told me it was in the New York Times. And it was a sign. The sign said, DeMar Hamlin, the loyal littles wish you a full and speedy recovery. And he said, do you think that's one of ours? And I said, no. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who identify with the sort of notion of littles and loyal littles, and there's 80 million podcasts. No, there's no chance this has anything to do with us.
Or just a fan group of the team.
Yeah, right. It could have been like some Bills Mafia.
Yeah, offshoot of the Mafia. Yes.
And where my thinking was flawed in this was that because I understood that DeMar Hamlin was a member of the Buffalo Bills, I just assumed this was a picture in Buffalo. And I thought, well, we don't have any real listeners in Buffalo. I don't know who we have in Buffalo who would do this. Not somebody that comes to mind right away who emails a lot. And then a couple of days later, Carol told me about this. And I said, yeah, Nigel had mentioned it the other day, but it can't possibly have anything to do with us. And she said, well, the caption says it's Anthony Beeson. And I go, whoa, Tony Beeson? What? And then it struck me that he's from Cincinnati.
Yes.
And he could very well have gone to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center and written this, not for us on this show, but as sincerely as possible for DeMar Hamlin. Tony Beeson joins us now. What made you go there? What made you do that?
Well, good morning, Tony and crew. And so my wife and I were watching the game. That was last Monday night, a week ago. And, you know, like millions of people, we were just dumbstruck by what we saw. So, you know, our hearts go out to the family, but also we have a child. We have a masculine child who's about the same age as DeMar. So
right.
We could only imagine what the family was going through. So we joined in, you know, with the millions of people who were praying for DeMar's recovery. But I wanted to do something further. So, I thought there would probably be, you know, people who were putting signs up in support. And indeed, that's what happened. So just outside of the UC Medical Center, there's a fence, and I created a little poster, and I didn't want it necessarily to be just from me. So, yeah, I put the loyal littles on it and took it down there along with some flowers and put it up there on the fence. And, things progressed from there.
We have seen these outpourings of signs and flowers all the time. I mean, everybody remembers when Princess Diana lost her life in that automobile accident, and all over the place, people had signs and flowers and candles. And you see the elongated tableau of that, but you never ever think, my sign is going to be up. Nobody ever thinks that. You could not have thought on any level that you would have this picture taken and your sign would be in the New York Times. Am I right?
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. So I'll tell you, you know, I had this little poster and it was kind of generic, plain vanilla. And so I added some pictures to it. So there was a group of Bengals and Bills fans that had gathered in a candlelight vigil that night on Monday night. And I had a picture of that, so I taped it to the poster. And this guy comes up behind me and he says, excuse me, I'm with the Associated Press, and I just took a picture of you and your poster. I hope you don't mind. And, you know, I didn't. So, but I didn't think anything further of it. I thought it might be in some local press or anything like that. But the New York Times, forget about it.
That's, I mean, when you saw it in the New York Times, what did you think?
Well, I just dumbfounded. I just, you know, I had no notion that it would be in the New York Times. I didn't know that it would ever be seen by anybody else. And by the way, I didn't see it until people had posted about it.
Right. But the photographer, when the photographer asked you your name, did you have any sense that at least he had legitimate credentials? Because that's what I would have thought.
Well, he didn't have a press pass, so.
Right.
But, you know, I believed him when he said he was with the Associated Press, but again, I didn't expect anything to really become of it.
You wrote a note. I have your note here where it says, while several people pointed out that this was in the New York Times, I've subsequently learned that the photo was also picked up by the Killeen, Texas Daily Herald. So I got that going for me. I like that. I feel like I'm doing the Chuck and Roxy show now. I actually feel like an idiot. But when, you know, when Carol said to me, that's Tony Beeson, I went, oh, then the Loyal Littles thing, oh, that is us then. How many people have you heard from?
Oh, I mean, my phone blew up on Friday. Lots of people reached out. Lots of people posted. And, you know, the Littles community, as you always say, there's just a tremendous connective tissue between all of us. So thank you, by the way, then, for putting that together. And by the way, thankfulness that DeMar's recovery has gone so
tremendously
well.
Tremendously. By the way, for whatever it's worth, I still have some, not necessarily repertorial skills, but repertorial instincts. And I did talk to a few doctors, and two of the doctors very specifically said to me, including my friend Peter in Texas, that the University of Cincinnati school is one of the best in the country. Like, by good fortune, he ends up in a medical place that is that good. You know, I mean, it could have been someplace that wasn't that good. And he gets there quickly, and the route is planned out, and the medical people with the NFL do everything they can do as quickly as possible. Because if it's 10 minutes later, if it's another place, maybe you don't get this outcome, right? I mean, you live in Cincinnati. They do know that medical school is a great one, right?
They do. So it has a tremendous reputation. And, you know, I mean, again, just everybody, we're so thankful that it worked out as well as it did. And yeah, I mean, it's shown a positive light on the University of Cincinnati Medical School. That's for sure.
It's really good. Well, thank you. Later in the show, we'll try to play I Have a Piano, which is what you're best known for. Thank you, Tony. Tony Beeson.
Well, apologies in advance to the listeners if you do that.
We like that.
By the way, you mentioned Chuck and Roxy. I'm episode number 9, by the way.
Oh, that's good to know. Everybody needs to have their number. Yeah, top 10 is really good. In the AP. Maybe not in the UP. In the AP. Tony Beeson, boys and girls, we move on. The playoffs, we got to do a little bit of sports. The playoffs are set. Well, actually, we should do some golf because we're not going to do it at any other point in the show.
History was made.
Colin Morikawa had a 6-shot lead going into the final round of the Century Open, which is for champions. Is that in Kapalua, Hawaii?
Yes.
In Kapalua, Hawaii. Everybody loves to watch that every year. Everybody loves to watch that in the middle of the winter. At one point, his lead in the last round was 7. He lost. It's the biggest gag. It's a bigger gag than Greg Norman. It's a bigger gag than Greg
Norman.
It is
Normian.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bigger gag. Colin Morikawa is a great player.
Yes.
Multiple he hadn't had a bogey all week long. He had 2 or 3 yesterday.
He had 3 in a row on the back 9.
He shot 1 under, and he got beat by the freight train that was Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm was 10 under on a Sunday.
Oof.
I don't know that that's ever happened. 10 under on a Sunday to win. I don't know on the PGA Tour that that's ever happened.
I'm pretty sure that he set a record for the number of birdies overall for the week. And this is someone who should have won in the last year or two there and just got beat by other freight trains.
I mean, some of those 63s and 62s are on par 70s or 71s. This is a par 73.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
He's 10 under on a Sunday. What are your thoughts?
So I think you have to zoom out with Colin Morikawa and sort of what he represents for the face of golf, which is someone who just
he's Wilbon's dear pal.
He has won. He's a smart kid.
He's won two majors.
And you look at the way that he has tried to address his weaknesses. You talk about New Year's resolutions. He is someone who's been accepting of the fact that he is near the bottom on the tour in terms of his putting, and he wins in spite of that shortcoming, along with his short game. And if you listen to Zinger, he did a great job of breaking down the why Morikawa would be such a good ball striker, but that same move that he has to hit iron so straight actually hurts his ability to hit softer, lofted shots around the green. So you're also looking at a player who, since they've brought in the player impact program, that bonus pool that now has been expanded, he's always been on the outside looking in, a guy who wins but is not necessarily winning the online popularity vote.
So, you know, he and Wilbon do a lot of things. They appear at seminars. Mike's done this a couple of times with Morikawa on inclusivity in golf. He loves Morikawa. Well, that's a gag. This isn't Scott Hoke, as in choke. This isn't somebody who's never won anything important. He's won two majors. He's a great player.
Yeah, and you remember the way he won that first major with that back nine charge, taking on the shots, holing out. This was in San Francisco. But yes, I think he should have won this handedly, but you look at what the other player had to do. That's an all-time final round. Probably the course was set up too easy.
Yeah.
They probably thought that this was just going to be a cakewalk. But it shows you the mindset. If you break down any 18 holes of golf into, you know, groups of six, and you just look, oh my gosh, I'm through the first third of this, I've lost a little bit of ground, and then all of a sudden you get into that final third, and it's already beginning.
After
to flip
the
away.
Football game, I flipped over to the golf, and I saw Morikawa was down two. I had no idea what could have happened.
I didn't flip over till Rahm was greenside on 18, and they have Smiley Kaufman.
Yeah.
Fresh off the kayak with Spieth from about 5 years ago, trying to catch up to see Rahm's lie, and it's already out of hand.
Yeah, I was very surprised at that. One other observation, then we'll get into, we'll have Wilbon on the show, and we will have Chuck Culpepper on the show. Small observation here. If you don't think you need a great quarterback to win the title, if you don't think you do, you look at the quarterbacks who are in the playoffs. In anybody's mind, if I tell you to pick the top 10 quarterbacks, then we're going to have 15 or 16 quarterbacks on a chart, because everybody's going to pick one or two different people.
Sure.
But of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, the only one who definitely is not in the playoffs is Aaron Rodgers. All the other quarterbacks in the playoffs, you would say, now you wouldn't say it about Brock Purdy, and you might not want to say it about Geno Smith, but this year Geno Smith is one of the top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah. Coaching matters.
Okay, you got Brady, you got Burrow, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson if he plays. Dak Prescott is having a bad stretch, but he's one of the top 10. Daniel Jones, you might not think so. Kirk Cousins, you probably have to think so. And we have to see if Tua gets back. But if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going to get in the playoffs. So when people say, well, we'll draft for need. No.
You've got to get that one guy.
You've got to get a quarterback, or it's not going to work. That is not to say that average quarterbacks haven't won the Super Bowl, because they have over time. But time after time after time after time, your chances are improved if you have a great quarterback.
I feel like we're just turning back the clock and you're one step away from opening up the lines. But is Eli elite?
Well, he certainly was one of the best 10. Yeah.
Yes. But as you break it down, and particularly when you look at Geno Smith, you start to realize, like, how does one quarterback, if you're not, say, in that top five class, how do you then be the right quarterback for the right time with the right coach and the right system?
Well, one of the things that helps is if you play for Kyle Shanahan, you know, and other things hurt. If you play, honestly, for Ron Rivera, who's a defensive guy,
yeah,
that's quarterback isn't necessarily his deal, you know.
Or if you're Mac Jones and you have a defensive coordinator.
Who's the offensive coordinator.
Right. No.
We'll take a break. Michael Wilbon, when we return, yes?
Yes.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brandon Costello has given us two songs. He says, I will soon be releasing a live recording of a set I played last July at Taylor Books in Charleston, West Virginia. In the meantime, here are a pair of songs for your enjoyment. I'll be playing support for the Bard of the Hallmark Channel himself, Dan Byrne, at the Southgate House Revival, just this side of Cincinnati on February 4th. I'll put you on the list. It's no Kinlock, but I'll drive you around and provide finger sandwiches, which I assume is most of the Kinlock experience anyway. Brandon Costello. This is called Words. He plays in Michael Wilbon.
Oh, can I also say?
Yeah.
Dan Byrne's playing at Jam and Java in...
I know where that is.
Yeah. Is that
Vienna.
Vienna, that's right.
Just past Vienna, Virginia.
I believe on January 20th, which is right around the corner, yes.
Wow, yeah.
Make your plans.
We should get him in.
Yes.
Michael Wilbon joins us. There's a million things to talk about in terms of football. The one thing that I want to focus on, because this is it's your division. All credit to the Detroit Lions.
Hell yeah.
For being eliminated and watching it on the big screen and being on the road in Lambeau outdoors. They're an indoor team. Outdoors in Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, who in the last five games has been Aaron Rodgers. And winning that game, what did you think of that, really?
Loved it. It excited me. The only thing I was disappointed about was that the Seahawks had won earlier in the day.
Yeah.
In overtime. And it just made, it lessened it because Detroit could not get into the playoffs by beating Green Bay. And I told you last week that If Matthew's schedule could have allowed it, I would have gone to Lambeau last night. I would have taken them to Lambeau. They've never been to Lambeau. They want to go. It wasn't unbearably cold. It was 21 at kickoff.
Right.
And not unbearably cold for me, although these days it probably would be. I would have gone to that.
Because would
it
was have such an event.
I actually do believe it could be Aaron Rodgers' final time. The way he walked off the field and looked around, and the way he answered questions the previous day, I just thought, you know what? This could be it for him there.
But don't you think he looks at the Tom Brady example and
everybody
says...
Everybody doesn't look at Brady. Everybody doesn't live their life that way. Aaron Rodgers seems to be like an independent thinker. I mean, I don't need Brady as a guidepost for everything in life.
Well, if he wants one more, he could go somewhere else.
I mean, maybe he could go to San Francisco. He could. He could go to the 49ers, who seem willing and ready, if you believe the chatter, to take either him or Brady for a year.
Yeah.
So maybe. But it was wow. The game was wow. You got this one guy who picked him off three times this season. Another pick was negated by a penalty. It was just the game was terrific. It was compelling. I loved it. I don't live my life by what happens in New York and L.A. I love both. I spend a lot of time in both places. I love them. But that's not – that. My heart ain't in either one of those. It's closer to Lambeau.
I understand that. You had a very big day as a Bears fan yesterday.
Yeah.
You had a great day. Tell people what happened.
Well, I mean, they went into the day – we went into the day hoping they would just lose. And what you do is – if you want to lose, management tanks, not coaches and players.
Players
management
do not tank. Players tank. Do not. Nope.
And so the Bears did what they did, which was they decided early in the week Justin Fields is not playing. Because, of course, they could beat the Vikings with Justin Fields. And they should have beat him in Minnesota earlier in the season. They had him beat. And so you take him off the field so you don't have that possibility. You don't – and I kept telling people, my brother and Robbie Petty, among others, they said, what is Lovie doing? What is Lovie doing? He's ruining the draft pick. I'm like, Lovie doesn't give a damn. Lovie's not going to be around until you have the draft pick.
That's right. That's right.
What are you people doing? Don't be stupid. Lovie Smith knows he's going to be gone. And so you go for two and win the game, and you ruin it anyway if you're going out.
So let me get to this. Houston is playing Indianapolis. They have nothing to play for. They have the two worst records, basically, in the game. Since Jeff Saturday got there, they've lost in terrible ways. They won one game, and then they lost seven. And Houston has nothing. They're not a good team. They're like, I don't know, two wins, although they've been playing people tight three or four of the last 5 weeks. At the end of that game, Houston gets an unbelievable touchdown with no time to go. It cannot happen.
No.
The touchdown they get cannot happen. They get it, and then they go for two. And I immediately wrote down, they go for two. You agree, question mark? Of course you do, right?
Yes.
Because you do. You try to win. Of course
yes,
you do.
Lovie wants to win that game. His players want to win that game. He and half of them
are gone.
Are not going to be on the roster next year.
That's right.
So what does he care about tanking?
So the corollary benefit is what for you?
The Chicago Bears get the number one pick.
Right. Now,
I think for the first time since like 1947.
Really? Wow.
I think we lost a coin flip for Terry Bradshaw. How'd that end up?
Not good for you.
The Steelers and Bears went 1-13. The only time in Bears history where they lost as many games was 1969. And Terry Bradshaw, who has great stories about it. Terry Bradshaw, back at Tony, before the draft became a national damn holiday for the NFL and ESPN, the draft was guys got a phone call.
That's right.
And somebody said, hey, you got drafted by the Baltimore Colts in the 15th round, so report for work in a week. Terry Bradshaw told me, knowing I'm a Bears idiot, he told me this story a couple of years ago about going fishing that morning. And he told his dad, I'm going to get drafted by the Chicago Bears today. I'm going to go play with Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. And that's what he wanted. And he comes back home, but he finds out that, like, in the same day, there was a coin flip, and the Bears didn't even get the pick. Pittsburgh got the pick. I mean, it just, you know, it shows you not everything has been a big deal for forever.
No.
But so the Bears get the first pick, which we all want to trade down.
Well, I was going to say, you have Justin Fields, who you believe is a quarterback worth keeping.
Yes.
And it's always the first, the overall number one pick is always, well, who's the big quarterback out there? But you don't want that, so what do you want?
It's what we need. We need a pass rusher, a left tackle, and a wide receiver. It's not a good year for receivers. The kid we want, Marvin Harrison's kid at Ohio State, is it's like Caleb Williams. He's not draft eligible yet. He's got to go play another year in college. So you got this kid at Georgia who is the best edge rusher, another kid at Georgia who's the best defensive interior lineman, and the best left tackle is from Northwestern, Skronsky.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Rated and by every single scout as the best left tackle. Now, you know me. I don't pay attention to the draft. You just wait till this year.
Yeah, this will be a big year for you. And the draft, you'll be a geek. You'll be calling up Mel Kiper.
I told Matthew, he was running around telling me about, you know, he's at that age now. He's at that age where, you know, he played with Pat Fitzgerald's kids growing up. And Pat Fitzgerald's kid is a lineman. He's, like, thought to be the best high school lineman in America.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, going to Northwestern.
He's
paying attention now to kids in college because sometimes he knows them.
That's weird.
Because they go to Gonzaga, or they go to Good Counsel, or they go up here. They go to, you know. And I said, okay, you want to talk draft, you better study this. I don't want to hear your opinions yet. We're gonna go through the draft. We're going to know every great offensive lineman and every great defensive lineman.
Give him Kiper's number.
Yeah.
Kiper will take his call.
Yeah, I want him to read. I want him to do the research.
Right.
And I'm going to do the research. I want this is it.
goodness.
This guy, the Bears GM, the new GM, Ryan Poles, I think his name is.
Do you like him? You like the coach?
I don't know. I don't know.
You like the coach, though?
I like the coach so far.
Right.
But, Tony, the Bears did this once, 1983. They didn't have the pick, the one pick. But in one draft, they drafted three Hall of Famers. In one draft, including Richard Dent in the, wait for it, eighth round of the draft.
Wow.
They got Willie Gault. They got, you know, two linemen, Covert maybe, and Thayer, and Bortz. They got three all-pro linemen in one draft.
Well, look what the Steelers did the year after Bradshaw. They got three Hall of Fame guys.
That's right. So this is about scouting now. So the Bears, so that kid's fate, Justin Fields' fate, is in the hands of a GM and scouts. Old-fashioned stuff.
Is there any chance that the Bears would take Victor Wembanyama?
Let me tell you something. I would trade all the picks and maybe the franchise for the right to do that.
Let's do a philosophical question now. I was thinking of this when I had the dog out this morning. There are, in my mind, four candidates for Coach of the Year. Four. Any one of whom would be good. Brian Daboll, who made the playoffs with the Giants. Giants were 4-13 last year. Doug Peterson, who made the playoffs with Jacksonville. Jacksonville was wretched because Urban Meyer was unfit to coach in the NFL. Dan Campbell had a winning record on a team that is awful beyond words. And Mike Tomlin, with a bad team and a rookie quarterback, once again finished above 500. Any of these guys, if you tell me you're voting for him, fine.
That's right, any of them. I don't have a preference.
You don't have a horse in the race?
No.
But those are the four, right? Those are the four.
Yeah, but I hadn't thought about this one, Tony, so I don't know if there's somebody else. What about Shanahan, who loses his starter and his number two and wins 10 games in a row?
Yeah. Yeah, but he had, they got Christian McCaffrey. They had a squad.
But if you lose your quarterback.
Well, that's, you're right. You're right.
I mean, you lose your starter and your two.
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, so I don't know. I don't know. Yes. You present people who all are worthy.
Yeah.
And I could vote for anybody. I don't vote anymore for. And I don't cover the NFL. I don't vote for that stuff like I do in the NBA, where I actually got to know that because I'm a voter. But any of those candidates, there are probably a couple more in the NFL who deserve serious consideration. But Detroit's story is a great story. I just it's too bad that game didn't mean. And then, you know what? To hell with the Packers. To hell with them. Get out. Go home. Tired of you.
I felt yesterday that if anybody, and people do this all the time, they say, well, there's nothing to play for, they're going to lay down. Athletes don't do that.
No.
You look at the Rams, you look at the Panthers, you look at the Broncos, you look at Washington. Athletes don't do that.
No, when athletes get disappointed, it's because they think they've been failed in the place that they are by management or coaches. Or they've got a disagreement going on within a team, within a locker room. And that's what, when you see dispirited teams, dispirited individual players on a team, that's what produces that.
Did you watch any of the Washington game?
Oh, yeah,
they like this quarterback as much as they like Heinicke. That's how much they hate Carson Wentz.
That's right. They hate Carson Wentz, and Ron Rivera didn't appear to know it.
Right. How can you not know it?
It's unthinkable.
Don't you talk to the offensive coordinator?
Don't you go to practice? Ron Rivera is not a dope. Ron Rivera's a football lifer.
Yeah.
He's wearing a ring.
He got this so wrong.
And he played, he's a backup. He's a backup to multiple Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
He's a backup to Singletary and Otis Wilson and Wilbur Marshall. Come on. He understands what it's like to come off a bench or to be called upon or needed. Ron Rivera is a smart football lifer, okay? And to get that wrong last week, listen, if they had started this guy last week, they'd have beaten Cleveland, and they, not the Packers,
they'd be
or
in
Seattle.
No,
Seattle,
I really
would be in the playoffs.
This kid was better than I thought. I mean, it's like, what took you so long? I mean, this kid was
better. even if that kid had failed, it wouldn't have been a matter of they don't want to play with him.
That's right. No, that's right. All right, one question I'll get you out of here. The Broncos say they will interview Harbaugh and Sean Payton. There's no doubt in your mind that Sean Payton is the better candidate, right?
No, but Sean Payton,
I don't think
was
he takes
rumored
that job.
To want other jobs. Now,
yeah.
You can't fire the San Diego coach coming off making the playoffs.
You can't.
You can't fire him.
No.
So that won't be available. Tony, there could be other jobs available.
Yeah, well, there are, but not.
And it could be people can fall in love with somebody when they sit in a room with them. But, you know, I'm of the opinion, and I told you this week three, when it was evident to anybody paying attention that the newly hired guy who's coaching the Denver Broncos was
terrible.
A terrible choice for a head coach in this circumstance at this time. I told you all year, nothing is wrong with Russell Wilson that an actual competent breathing coach could not fix.
Yeah, you and I disagree on that. I think he's old and he's slowed. He's slowed down, and the thing he did best, he's lost.
He still knows how to play from the pocket, too.
He can play from the pocket.
And this is a league in which there's only 15 quarterbacks out there that are any damn good.
And virtually all of them
can't make Russell Wilson work
better than this. Without,
yes.
Oh, my God.
And so now I've got to turn into the biggest Denver Broncos fan of all time, no matter who the coach is. Because I don't think it'll be Harbaugh. I don't know. I just don't. Maybe it will be. People forget. People don't have any idea that Harbaugh is the guy who elevated Colin Kaepernick.
Harbaugh knows how to make a quarterback better. He was a quarterback.
Developed Colin Kaepernick, that staff.
He was a quarterback. He knows.
Elevated him and put him in there.
That's right. That's right.
And benched Alex Smith.
That's right.
Who had a great year the year before. So Harbaugh knows what he's doing. And maybe he'd be the guy. He played the position.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
so
you're
that
right.
would be interesting. So let me not say it won't be Harbaugh. Let me not say that.
Sean Payton also played.
I'm rooting for Russell Wilson now, who I know a little bit. I'm rooting for him because I'm convinced that head coaching in the NFL has never been worse than it is now.
So what you're going to see, by the end of next year, you will know if Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson or Matt Ryan. That's what
right.
you'll know.
That's right.
By the end of next year. You won't need a third year. You won't.
No, you'll know this probably by week six.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, and so, there are a lot of things, to be determined, and now we get playoffs. Tony, I got to tell you, the playoffs are not particularly sexy. I mean, the matchups in week one, the matchups next week, they're not that great. And part of this is, I'm not a guy who cares about the tradition of having certain teams in any playoff. But you don't have the Steelers. You don't have the Packers.
To hell with the Packers.
That's right.
5 minutes ago.
That's right. I'm glad they lost.
Okay.
That's me.
All right.
It doesn't mean that the playoffs are elevated without them. But the playoffs are not. And the games may wind up. They may turn out great.
They may.
But going in, I'm like, it's not. It's not a sexy tournament so far. When you present what's on paper going into next Saturday.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right,
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we'll take a break. When we come back, Chuck Culpepper will join us. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brandon Costello, one more time. Again, he's going to be there playing with Dan Byrne at the Southgate House Revival on February 4th. And Dan Byrne is going to be in Jammin' Java in Vienna, Virginia.
I believe on
January 20th, you said?
Yeah, January 20th. I'll double check that. But
you can listen to Brandon Costello at the end of me babbling. Michael, if people like our friend Brandon Costello or anybody's friend wants to send us original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
This is called Climbing. It plays in Chuck Culpepper, who's going to cover the national championship tonight. We're on early, by the way. We're on at 4:30 today to make room for 46 straight hours of pregame nonsense. As long as we have Chuck, let's ask the obvious question. How was Thailand?
Oh, I had been in Qatar for 35 days in a row, so I went to Thailand and just fell asleep, and I sort of thought, if you're going to just fall asleep, well, it's one of my favorite countries in the world, but if you're going to just fall asleep, you might as well just go home, you know?
Right.
So restful, I would say.
Is there anything you did other than sleep in Thailand?
Oh, not really. I got one for you. There was a baseball writer named Danny Nobler, covered baseball for 23 years and married a woman from Thailand, and they own a sports bar in Pattaya, which is just a zany party city there on the water. And I went to his sports bar for a few nights and talked. I've known him for a long time, so that was really fun. The whole world kind of stops by that bar. You know, you meet people from all over the world in there.
So I have three people here, myself, Nigel, and Michael. And when we heard sports bar in Thailand, we all sort of looked at each other. It's the last place on earth we would expect to have a sports bar. Is it for expatriates? You know, or like, what do they put on TV at a sports bar, given the time difference, given the cultural difference? What's on TV?
You know what's on TV all over the planet, and so it's there, is the English Premier League.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you might have a match that's starting in England at, 3 p.m., and that'll be, let me see if I get this right, that'll be 10 p.m. in Thailand, I believe. So you'll have people from, from whatever city it is in, I'm trying to think of what it was that day. It was a match in the championship, which is the second tier of English soccer, so not the Premier League, but there was a match, a rivalry match. I'm trying to think of what it was. But anyway, there were people from those two towns who now have retired to Thailand or live in Thailand and who stopped by to watch that. And then all of a sudden, it was bizarre. All of a sudden, about 1 a.m., the Camellia Bowl came on from the U.S. So, that was strange. That was when you kind of don't know where you are or anything. So.
This is going to really annoy Wilbon, the notion that the NBA isn't on 24 hours a day in Thailand.
There. It's on there, yeah.
You travel a lot. You've lived in a lot of different places. Is there one thing you look for when you decide, I'm going to go to this place for a week or so, this is why I'm going to go?
I think it varies based on, whether I've been at a 35-day event before that. But I do like to go to sort of frontier, for me, places I haven't been. And I really wanted to go, for example, to Laos on that trip. And I've never been there. And I really love Cambodia. And I was hoping to go back to there, which I went to after the Olympics in Korea in 2018. But I was too tired to make it to Laos this time, or too asleep, would say. And so I try to look for frontier for me. When the World Cup was in Russia, I went after that to Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia and just kind of made my way through. And I've kind of come to love being in places where I'm just completely out of my norm, even though I guess you could say after a while I don't really even have a norm, but I've gotten addicted to that rush of being in a completely unfamiliar place.
We could not be more different, you and I. I would go to Disney World at the exhibit of Lyles and think I was there. We could not be more different. We move on. You're now in L.A. for the college championship, TCU and Georgia. Are you okay with those two teams, or did you think that should be one of the other teams?
I think I'm okay. It's, you know, and those two games very easily could have been entirely
That's
different
right.
teams from
That's
those
right.
two semifinals. It's all, it has a sort of a March Madness feel to it this time that it's really never had. You know, if you look back through these semifinals through the first 8 years, a lot of duds in there. You know, a lot of games that were by the third quarter, you could file your story and have, and you know, have the editor fill in the score
yeah.
at the end. So these two games, frenzies, both of them. And so we've wound up with, it's an, I think it's an odd final. It's funny to, I was at the beach at Santa Monica yesterday. It's kind of cold, but I was there and watching the, you know, the TCU fans in their purple have come, and it's very strange. It's curious to think they're in the final. You know, they're kind of like, if we looked at it in basketball, Butler or Loyola Chicago or St. Peter's, teams that made runs. You don't have to win as many football games to make a run within this tournament. But, you know, it's they're fresh. They're a darling. They're entirely unexpected. They were 5-7 last year, 6-4 in the main COVID year, and 5-7 before that. They've got four players who've been in bowl games before, and you know everybody goes to bowl games now. So it's very, very strange.
If I was part of the establishment of college football, I would want TCU to win this game so badly because I could say to the world, we are not just the SEC and the Big Ten. We are not. We are a national sport. Don't you get that sense that that's what the establishment would like?
Yes, and that's, you know, in a way, the sport, well, in a big way, for 100-plus years, it's been a sport of these kingdoms, you know, who reign over everybody, and it's very hard to break into the group. The fact that Miami did it in the 80s and became a new powerhouse
yes.
was, you know, is really an accomplishment in the history of the sport. And so that has intensified in the playoff era. And it's kind of counterintuitive that it has intensified in the playoff era. It's supposed to open it up to more people. But TCU would be, it's not really in the Southeast. I guess it's not in the Southeast at all. It's kind of close.
Yeah.
But, you know, this thing, when you look at the teams who played in the finals of this thing, is so heavily tilted to the Southeast.
Nick Clemson, Saban, Alabama.
Six of them.
Yeah, Georgia.
LSU. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Miami, just as an aside, I say this a lot. The greatest quote I ever got from anybody, from an athlete hanging around, was from Michael Irvin at the U, when he said, "That's us, number one UPI, number one FBI." Just the greatest single quote. I love Michael Irvin. Of all the things that I look at in this particular game, the thing that stands out most to me is that Stetson Bennett IV is 25 years old, Chuck. He's yeah. 25 years old. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, there was a time when he had gone to Georgia and then he'd gone off to a community college in Mississippi. And then he came back to Georgia. I remember we're at one game, they were playing Auburn. It was in the 2020, so the fan number total was limited, you know, to the social distancing, and they were just mauling Auburn. And so we were reading up on him, and, you know, he had this photo from the junior college and then a photo from Georgia that showed how when you get to the SEC, they kind of give you a haircut and clean you up for
yeah.
your photo. And that seems so long ago. that were just looking at that and just learning about this guy. And here he is still, you know, still in the midst.
Still a college quarterback. Get out of college.
Yeah.
Pat Forty told us last week this was fantastic. I said, he'll not go to the NFL, right? He goes, no, he's going to have a Chevy dealership. He's never going to play in the NFL. He'll never pay for a meal in Georgia, and he's going to have a Chevy dealership, right?
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
25, get out of here. I am one. Wilbon got angry at this because he loves Caleb Williams. So, but I said after about, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks into the season, I would have named Max Duggan the Heisman winner. I thought he did more with less than most, and I just think he's a really good quarterback. What are your thoughts on him?
You know, remember and it's seared in our memories, the Miami-San Diego playoff game, the great one with overtime,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Kellen Winslow being,
yep.
being his teammates had to help him off the field. I think he blocked two field goals in addition to catching, you know, 30 passes in that game, whatever it was. I hadn't really seen a player who made me think of that game so much as Duggan in the
Kansas
game
State
they
game.
Actually lost.
Yeah,
year.
In the Kansas State
yeah.
game. He's 1 foot from the goal line. I mean, he did the fourth quarter. It was they had one player. It was him. That's all they had.
And that drive where the drive is 80 yards long, but he rushed for about 95 during it because penalties were in it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And that drive, and it just... It's just he's that kind of guy, you know, and then he's crying afterward, which is one of my favorite
yeah.
things. It just shows you that's the guy I want on the team right there, you know. The Heisman, I still want us to give it to a defensive player someday. I'd like to see that. But it does kind of baffle. You can make a case. I hate to say it this way. You can make a case for, you know, three or four. Players,
I think that's true. Who do you like in this game? Do you have any sense going in?
Well, I really like Georgia.
Yeah,
here. I just think it's too a bit too much, and I think they're so seasoned, and the fact that they climbed their Mount Alabama that kept knocking them down until last year, and they got through that. Some points of this season they've played some of the best college football that I can ever recall seeing played. You know, if you can't keep that up. I don't think it's possible for teams to keep that up. Very rare. I went to their early game against South Carolina, and I thought this is just, you know, really, really high level. So they're capable of that level. I think they might grab it tonight or get close to it tonight. I really, really like them.
I hope they don't win by a lot. I mean, I hope it's a relatively good game. I'm okay with Georgia winning because I think over the last 2 years they've proven who they are. And it's fine. I just would
right,
hope
right.
it's not some sort of romp where you go, oh, boy, it's a lousy game. The only other question we have for you, of course, to get you out is you're all the way out in California. Where are you going next? Is there some – are you going to Fiji? I mean, is there some place you're close to you're going to?
I was actually going to decide that on Tuesday.
Mm.
So I think I might come to, I think I'm actually headed to exotic Virginia.
Okay. Okay. That's
yeah.
That's a good
yeah.
spot to go to. Chuck, enjoy the game. Thanks so much as always.
Thank you for all of it, Tony. Thank you.
Chuck Culpepper, boys and girls, we'll take a break. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
Banjo music.
Yeah.
I love banjo music. Remember when Steve Martin used to play the banjo in the middle of his comedy set?
And not just strum it.
No, he was great.
He was phenomenal. Yeah. Always loved the banjo.
It's great. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, got the bagel sandwiches today. It's always a great day for us. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
That's just about it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, you certainly don't, pal, because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got, all they've got, just 1 week to regain your job starting with tonight. Starting with tonight's sit. Oh, have I got your attention now? Good, because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anyone want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. This is part of the play Glengarry Glen Ross. In the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, this role is played by Alec Baldwin, right, who comes in and does this. I had forgotten the name of the play, but I knew, and Nigel helped me with that, but I knew right away what it was from.
Oh, sure.
Because it's David Mamet. And David Mamet, in the latter part of the 20th century in America, is the best playwright.
Absolutely.
I'm not comparing him to Arthur Miller.
Right.
I'm not doing that. In the latter part of the 20th century, David Mamet is the best playwright. If you have not seen that movie, it's quick. See it.
Yeah.
You will not forget it.
Yeah.
Did you do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Returns to that character in SNL, too.
I want to point out the
Long Island Boy. All the Baldwins.
Santa's Workshop.
Oh.
All the Baldwins.
Yeah, I've got to watch that.
Massapequa. In fact, Billy Baldwin wrestled at Binghamton.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. Yeah. I want to give credit to Lenny Bernstein, who was the one that first texted me the photograph of what turned out to be Tony Beeson's
unbelievable.
We're like,
I was so dismissive of it.
Well, it couldn't be us. Turns out it is. So thank you.
I have
that,
a piano.
We should play that tomorrow. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Chuck Culpepper. Thanks to our sponsors, ZipRecruiter, MeUndies. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a review. Joe and Molly Chambers play the piano, play the banjo and sing for us. That was lovely.
Just great.
Okay.
For those asking, Nigel, TK Nerve is still alive. No miracle cures for dad, but
no.
Get the cashmere sweater.
Took the last shot I could take.
TK Nerve.
Maybe some marginal improvement. I got to talk to Caleb Kroll about this to know what to look for. From Thomas Bramble, I'm not sure if I can say anything witty or smart enough to get your attention, so I'll just be honest. I started watching the Pardon the Interruption around 2005 when I got out of the Army the first time. I watched you and Mike Wilbon religiously in 2008 when I got recalled by the Department of Defense to deploy to Iraq. Pardon the Interruption became more than just an intelligence sports show piped in through the American Forces Network in Baghdad. It was a piece of home I miss so dearly. Without getting sappy, PTI has become a mainstay. I DVR the show on cable, and I subscribe to Sling TV just in case the DVR records some other crap I don't want to watch. It's the only show I watch every day, and when you guys are not on, my day is not the same. Just ask the woman to whom I'm related by marriage. Now I have the joy of listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show on my way to and from work every day. As your illustrious career has evolved through the years, so has mine. I now own a wine company based out of Napa, California, TB Cellars. As the TB would stand for Thomas Bramble, as the astute food and wine aficionado you are, I would love for you and the crew to try my Napa Cabernet Sauvignon. I named it Otage, or Otage. In French, it means hostage. The things I am most passionate about in life have held me hostage to some degree, good, bad, or indifferent. Thank you for the passionate work you do every day and allowing me to be part of it as a viewer and listener. And then tell me where to send the juice. Yes, this is a shameless request for you to plug my wine. It's fine. That's fine. I'm happy to do it. Right?
Described as a beguiling, intricate beauty.
Ooh. TB Cellars, baby. In
like
Napa.
That.
It's so delicious. It's a win-win. And if I had a story about anything my dog ate of significance, I would include that too. On a side note, I studied broadcast journalism in college and won the Brumfield Excellence in Journalism Award for Broadcast Journalist of the Year in 2009. And this is the important clause, while deployed in Iraq.
Wow.
And then he writes, literally anything to get your attention. Yes, you can send us. Of course you can. Jay Manning, thank you so very much for writing. Your experience with FedEx is not okay. It is a great representation of the decline in both customer service and the overall customer experience.
Yeah.
It is my hope that this email helps you solve your problem and prevent any future misdelivered package from FedEx. I've enclosed the following context in the FedEx leadership team. Not surprising, but I found that if you go straight to the top, the bottom gets the message a lot faster. And there won't be any, is there anything else I can help you with? So I got some senior VPs. I'll be calling them later in the day.
Can you identify the package?
I can't.
The one without Tony Kornheiser on it?
My name's not on it. From Dan Gould in Independent Lake Camp, one more time. Some thoughts about my last email and your response. Sorry about the misspelling of Kiuma. I'd blame it on autocorrect spelling, but it's not true. It was me. Your take on what camp meant to you and how it has affected the rest of your life was so well said. Parallel to your take on sports in general. I'm 71 years old. I have a very similar take on my youth camping years. Over my ownership the last 30 years, most important is that camp is still camp. It still does all the things it did for you as a youth. Finding oneself in one's voice. The style has changed, but the heart of the matter is still the same. It was great to hear your story and remind me of the magic camp has for people. We make a difference in people's lives every day. So that's very, very nice. John Schissel writes about the power of community. Native and proud Washingtonian, lived in many cities throughout the United States, back in D.C. now. As a fellow Cancerian, I was born July 18th. You may know that we are nostalgic in addition to being intuitive and empathetic, which despite your many protestations, I think you are very intuitive and empathetic. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Please know that as I and many other listeners to your podcast, the informal community of listeners of which you are the axis has more meaning than you may know. The power of media is that it provides a connection and community to individuals bigger than themselves. So as we listen to your show each week, you help take the daily stresses and often unresolved complexities of life off our minds. And we bond through the shared experience and discussions that you and your crew invite us into. So imagine the connections by the littles and seeing that sign in support of Damar Hamlin that was posted in the New York Times. The nostalgic element is as someone from New York City by way of Lynbrook and Camp Kiuma, and who is now a true Washingtonian, has taken on a multi-decade journey and positively connected with your listening community in a week that started off with a collective sense of tragedy and sadness and ended with a shared joy of progress and support offered by millions. That's a lovely, lovely sentiment.
Yes.
And now let's get to the things that we're really about from Troy in Denver, Colorado. The name of what your dog, the new game of what your dog ate is just wonderful. I've got a golden retriever named Murray who turns 15 on January 16th. That's next week.
Happy birthday, Murray.
We've got a phrase that we use called Murray things that my dog just picks up and brings to me. Living in Colorado and being a hiking dog, he's picked up and rolled into some interesting things. They all roll into like dead things.
Yeah, they'd love
they
it.
They roll into dead things so that the smell of the dead thing gets on their body. Anytime I see Chessie out in the back rolling, I know something's dead.
Yeah.
For example, on various hikes, he has retrieved with enthusiasm a deer leg, an elk skull, a snapping turtle shell, and multiple old soda cans that seem to be from the early 1970s. He's rolled himself into what can only be described as deer murder scenes that changed his coat from golden to red. He's almost fallen off of 2,000-foot cliffs at 14,000 feet chasing marmots. Is that how it's pronounced?
Marmot.
Marmots. Chasing marmots.
I like marmots better.
Marmots. Marmots. But the most amazing thing he has done is when I was making barbecue sauce, I went shopping for the ingredients and I forgot a spice. The grocery store was a little over a mile away, left a few groceries on the kitchen counter and was gone no longer than 15 minutes. When I got back, a 2-pound bag of brown sugar, a loaf of bread, and half a dozen donuts, just gone. Murray had no interest in looking at me. In my life, I don't think I could accomplish what he did in the amount of time I was gone. That's Troy in Denver. From Joe Pearson in Indianapolis. This new game makes me laugh every time. The only thing my dogs have ever eaten was unusual was books. But get this, the only books they ever ate were books I got from the library, which of course I then had to buy. Do library books have some special dog attracting aroma? Who knows? Anyway, more dog stories. Tyler Iman in Nixon, Missouri. Let me start off by saying that I own a black lab and she's a perfectly well-behaved little angel. My roommate, however, has a 120-pound cane corso named Maximus, who can occasionally have a mind of his own when it comes to behaving like he should around food. One day, I was planning on having a lovely young lady over for a dinner that I was to prepare for the both of us. I spent the better part of the day marinating, seasoning, and grilling a tri-tip roast for us to eat. Ooh. A few minutes before she was set to arrive, I had everything ready, and I said, "All right, let me run to my room real quick and change my shirt." I was in the bedroom for 45 seconds when I rounded the corner to the living room and my eyes met, but all 120 pounds of Maximus standing on top of my dinner table, licking the entire fat cap off of my tri-tip. He avoided all cutlery and dishes on the table and managed to ruin the entire roast I'd worked on all day. The lovely young lady and I ended up ordering a pizza. And while that relationship never managed to become much of anything, Max is still giving my plate a longing look every time I cook a tri-tip. Isn't that wonderful? You know,
it's phenomenal.
Okay. And to get us out on something funny, from Patrick Sitter in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Never thought I'd have anything in common with a cat named Corky, but I'm not comfortable with a ribbon in my anus either. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
Too late. I don't wanna struggle. anymore. Do you ever wonder where she is? Do you ever think about the day? Did you ever dream it would turn out this way? Do you wanna struggle anymore? You don't have to struggle.